Who?
The following is a composite of three messages on the Lord's Prayer given in October of 1963.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I think we'll take those seven rules first. I want to be sure and give them to you, and then I want to talk about fasting. And then I may go to the Lord's Prayer for a little bit, being as that, I might ought to go there first. Now, we've been there before, some of us, in the Lord's Prayer, but I'll tell you, beloved, that's a marvelous thing to go to. A lot of people say it just as a form, but they don't even know what they say. Not really. But let's turn over to the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew, I believe, that fifth chapter, somewhere there. When we stood in the spiritual tabernacle in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and we never did finish it, we got as far as you were able to take, and then we quit. Let's talk about this Lord's Prayer, because it fits in with the rules. And I'm going to tell you something, saints. The Lord's Prayer would be something that would be well for you to say every time you come to your prayer closet. Did you know that? And I don't mean as a form, but as a pattern, a principle. Now, there are a lot of things that God's after with us right now. And since we've been in the process of moving and was selling that church over there and getting this church fixed up and convention and everybody in upon us and in the Seal Conference and many things, while we haven't gotten back really in, you might say, the spiritual groove that we used to be in as a church, but now we're going to get started. Now, one thing we used to do as a church was to memorize the Word as a church. And now I'm telling you, God is really giving you some things and going to give you some things if you'll prove yourself and cooperate. Now, all of the Bible, listen to me, when you get the revelation of this Word, it fits somewhere along here in this stature. It has to, because the written Word was given to portray and to give us a picture of the living Word. You believe that? I know that's true. And there are a lot of Psalms, listen to me, that have to do with the head realm. And God is really working. Now, you don't have to, as some people have the idea, that you grow all feet down here, and then you'll come up and grow all loins, and then you'll come up and grow all heart, and then all hands, and finally you'll grow all head. Well, now that'd be a monstrosity, wouldn't it, huh? You grow, when a baby is born, it begins to grow in all parts. Now, and some children, listen, are smarter than others in their mind, aren't they, huh? And they grow up faster. Amen. They grow up faster. Now listen, God's going to give you an opportunity here and is giving you an opportunity to grow up faster if you want to grow up. And one way to grow up is to get the Word of God inside of you. Now, in order to fulfill the seven rules I'm going to give you, and I can guarantee you 100% success if you'll obey what I'm going to put on the board after a while. You know why? Because I know. We're going to study something this morning. We studied it some time ago when we were in the spiritual tabernacle. Some people call it the Sermon on the Mount. That's all right. But you'll find Matthew 5, 6, and 7 laid out in the same form of the cross, beloved, as you do the Old Testament tabernacle. And I call it the spiritual tabernacle because that's what Jesus called it to me when he revealed it to me many years ago and showed me how that he started. And just like with Moses, there he started way up the Ark of the Covenant, and he worked his way down to the foundation. That's the same way that Jesus did in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He started with the blessings which belong to the head realm and come all the way down to the seventh chapter. And then you'll start with the two foundations there, the one on sand and one on the rock, and so on. But during that part there, you'll find in the part that comes down by the altar of incense, the place of prayer, you find the Lord's Prayer. I dare say that unless that you sit under this teaching, that you really haven't realized the fullness of the importance of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is to a lot of folk just a form. It's something that you say when you don't really want to pray. But I'm going to tell you that's one of the greatest patterns that you can get into. Now, we taught that sometime maybe a couple of years ago. And let's go into it this morning. Let's go to Matthew, the sixth chapter. And I want to show you something here, beloved. And after this morning, I can assure you that the Lord's Prayer will live in your heart in a way that it never has lived before. Once you get the Holy Ghost revelation, the Holy Ghost realization of it, well, it lives to you in a special way. Matthew, the sixth chapter. And let's consider. Now, like we study here at the little church all the time, that the Word of God is laid out in the form of a cross. I don't care whether we're in the Old Testament tabernacle. I don't care what person's life you go to, or what subject you go to, what book you go to, what chapter. When the Holy Ghost gives you the key, you'll find it outlined in the form of a cross. So this is no exception. Now let's study this subject here this morning. And it's a wonderful thing that when you even come to pray, and I do this most all times, unless I'm just overflowing with the Spirit by the time I hit my prayer closet and I'm already in intercession and travail. If I'm not, I usually go over the Lord's Prayer, because that's a good pattern to approach God with, and you'll see why. Now, first of all, the first point you see that God reveals to us how to pray. Now, how to pray. And let's look how that God wants us to pray. How to pray. And there's a little statue there about how to pray. If we follow God's instructions, beloved, we're bound to get results. We're bound to grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. Let's see where we'll start here. In about verse 5. Let's start in verse 5 in the sixth chapter of Matthew. And let's learn how to pray. God tells us how to pray. He said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." When we do something to be seen and heard, don't expect God to reward you. You've already received your reward. Now, here's the instruction. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now then, let's begin to see how to pray. I'll put that little statue up here and we'll work around it. How to pray. What was the first thing that you learned how to pray, huh? Enter into your closet. Now, some people think you're crazy to just get in a closet, but I'm just dumb enough to take God at His word. Enter into the closet. And for many years, I don't know how many years now, since God quickened this to me, that I find me a closet somewhere in the house. Amen. And if I don't have a closet, some people, maybe you don't have a closet big enough to get into. I don't know. Praise God. But He didn't say this was symbolical. A lot of people say, "Oh, that's just symbolical. He means to just enter in the closet of your mind." He didn't say so. He just said, "Enter into your closet." And so I have found by experience, listen to me, that when you get a consecrated, holy place to crawl into, where the other people don't go in and out and defile it, and you actually anoint it and sanctify it with the blood of Jesus and the presence of the Lord, beloved, it's tremendous. I'm a Mashunda. I can go in my closet, wherever I've got set aside, to pray and seek God, and I feel the presence of the Lord when I begin to go. There's just something special there when you have an anointed closet to get into. Well, if I didn't have a closet, then I'd curtain me off a place in the basement, and I'd make a closet. And if I didn't have a basement, then I'd curtain off a spot in another room. I'd make me a closet somewhere, because He said that's how to do it. Now, if you don't believe it, just try it sometime. Praise God. I never will forget that folk from Livermore being here reminds me of one time I was down there in a revival in Assembly of God Church. It was by those days. And hallelujah. And I remember God was pouring out His Spirit in a tremendous way, and we were staying with my sister-in-law out there, and they live a little way from town. And I remember the power of God was on me so much, after I came out of that meeting, they had to walk me up and down that lane there, because I was so full of the Lord, and I couldn't stop the Holy Ghost from just gushing out of me, just speaking through me. And one of the girls in Sister Linda May used there that time, wasn't he? Got a witness, got two witnesses, especially one, because she was in the room that time. She used to sing with us in the trio on the quartet. And so one of the girls was walking me up and down. Oh, I never forget that. The stars were so beautiful, and the sky was so beautiful. As I looked up there, it seemed like the more I looked on God's handiwork, well, the more the Holy Ghost began to roll out of me. And I couldn't stay it. I couldn't stop it. And we walked up and down and praised and shouted for about an hour, and it seemed like it subsided a little bit. I didn't want to go in the house because everybody else was asleep, and I didn't want to wake up people. Amen. And I remember when I went in that room again, the Spirit threw me on my knees, and the Holy Ghost started gushing out again. And so I didn't know what to do. And so I just crawled up under the bed. Hallelujah. I made a closet under the bed. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget that in all my life. Jesus carried me away in the Spirit. And beloved, He showed me that great mountain. Hallelujah. With the holy city up there upon it. He gave me some visions and some revelations about the bride of Jesus Christ. And I made up my mind that night that I wanted to get there. Oh, He didn't show me the big valley I had to go through to get to the next mountain. But He showed me the mountain. I had a taste of what was up yonder on the mountain. Oh, hallelujah to God. But I had me a closet under the bed that night. You can laugh if you want to. It doesn't make me no difference a bit in the world. Brother, this thing is real and it works. And I'll guarantee if you'll find you a closet and crawl into it somewhere, just start practicing God's Word. God said, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. How many people here, that you've learned this thing, to get in your closet and pray, and you pray in the closet and you find a greater blessing when you obey God's Word? I want to see your hands. I want to see amen out there. That's right. Hallelujah to God. Now, I'm just telling you what's in God's Word. It's between you and God. It doesn't make me any difference in the flesh whether you obey it or not. Sure, we'd like to see the whole world obey in our spiritual man. Now, let's go on to the next thing. What did he say after you got into the closet, huh? What? Well, some of you are getting ahead of yourself. Say it out, huh? Shut the door. Amen. When you get into the closet, shut the door. Amen. Now, I know we can type this symbolical, beloved, but I'll just guarantee if you've never practiced it, literally, you don't know what a blessing you've got in store for you. I know by experience, praise God. And when I go in that closet and shut the door, it's like you've shut the whole world outside and you're just standing there with Jesus and you begin to feel His presence come down. And if you get out on your face, you'll find experiences when you get alone with God. It's a matter of humbling yourself. Beloved, you've got to humble yourself to crawl in a closet. Amen. And sometimes if you're praying in a closet where you don't have an extra closet, and I guess few of us do, well, there's always something hanging in the closet, amen, to maybe knock you around in the face and ruffle your hair up a bit, amen. And you really look like you've been in a first-class warfare when you crawl in the closet and shut the door and come out again. Praise God. But I'll guarantee you, beloved, it's wonderful when you obey the Spirit of God. If you've never tried it, you just try it, because I promise you, upon the authority of God's Word, upon the authority of my experience in the Holy Ghost, that it works. Now, he said, shut the door. Don't leave the door open. Now, I realize we got to shut the door to our mind. But, brother, he didn't say shut the door to your mind. He said, shut the door to your closet. Now, I guarantee if you shut the door to your closet, you'll come near shutting the door to your mind when you get in there and feel all alone with Jesus. Amen. Then he said to do what, huh? He said to pray in secret. Pray in secret. And, beloved, we can stand on the Word of God. A lot of times when I come into the prayer closet, and there are things that we pray that we don't want anybody to know, but just us and Jesus. And sometimes I stand upon the promise of His Word here. When He said, if you pray in secret, He said, I'll reward you openly. Amen. And so He said, pray in a secret. Pray in secret. Tell the Lord the secrets of your heart. Pray in secret, and then stand upon God's Word. Now, Lord, you said if I pray to you in secret that you would reward me openly. Praise the name of the Lord. And so it's wonderful to pray in secret. And if you haven't prayed in secret, beloved, you just can't keep up the romance with Jesus. You'll leave your first love. You'll find other things coming in. And so he said to enter in your closet, shut the door, and pray in secret. And now he said something else, to pray after this manner. Now let's look at it. We're learning how to pray now. He's telling us how to pray. Then we're going to start dividing the Lord's Prayer here. And he said, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, that is your secret motive. Amen. I shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner, therefore pray ye. All right, so that was the first, the next thing. He said, pray after this manner. Now we're to use God's manner. Our pattern, that's exactly what it means. Pray after God's manner. And there's a reason why God wants to teach us this manner of praying, and that's what I want to teach you today. And I'll tell you, if you would come and say the Lord's Prayer in your closet, and knowing what it means, and meditating on it, and making the surrender as you go down the line, well, you'll find God blessing you in a wonderful way. Praise His holy, wonderful name. So he said, pray after this manner. Now this is the preparation for prayer. That we're to enter the closet. We're to shut the door. We're to pray in secret. And then we're to use God's pattern for prayer. And a lot of times we think, just like Jesus said there, that we can be heard for our much speaking. We can holler, oh God, do this, oh God, do this, until we're blue in the face. And if you won't come after God's manner in prayer, God's not going to hear you. There's a reason why God has set this manner, this pattern for us, and you'll see it as we proceed on to it. Now then, let's proceed on in the matter here, and let's recognize God's honor. You know, when we come before the Lord, and many times as we've studied here with different ones of you and their prayer to God, successful prayers that have been prayed in the Word, whether they be in the Psalms or whether they be Nehemiah's prayer. How many of you remember, it's been quite some time ago, when we studied the book of Nehemiah, and I gave you the stature in the book of Nehemiah. Remember about Nehemiah's prayer? What was the thing we understood about Nehemiah's prayer? What did he do? He recognized God's honor. And so when we come before God, we've got to recognize God's honor. Now then, let's look at it. Recognize God's honor. Now let's take that little statue there. And there's a reason for this. Like we said, God wants to teach us how to pray. And if there's anything that people need have need of today, it's how to pray. And let me tell you something, beloved. Even this people here, now most of our people here in this church, they have a Holy Ghost intercession and travail. Well, the Holy Ghost does the praying through them, and the Holy Ghost makes intercession and travail. But let me tell you something. Just because you've got that doesn't make this of less importance, nor does it mean that we're to minimize God's pattern. So I'm going to shut up. Sometime during your prayer closet, pray the Lord's Prayer after today and mean what you say. And you can't mean it if you don't understand what God means in the thing. Now, let's look at it. All right, let's recognize God's honor here. And there's a little stature about God's honor. And we'll talk about that. Let's talk about God's honor. Now, how are you to pray? And when you understand this, it just means so much to you. That's all. Now, he said, how to pray. He said, our Father, which art in heaven. Pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven. We're going to recognize our Father in heaven. What does that mean? Praise God. Beloved, it means coming in humility. You can't really recognize your Father. And notice it wasn't my Father, but it's our Father. Praise God. You know, that takes the smart stuff out of you, huh? There are a lot of groups that they think they're the only group. They think they're capital IT. And I know sometimes people, when they want to be smart and persecute us, well, they say we say we're the bride. We don't say no such thing. I'll tell you what the bride is, those that go all the way with the Lord. That don't have a thing in the world to do with this church as such. It has to do with individuals that are going to pay the price and go on for God. That's all. Amen. So bless God at being in the bride. If you could join this church and be in the bride, well, I'd build 50 dozen churches as fast as I could all over the world and get people just to join the church. But, beloved, we don't think we're it. We're not it. And let's not confuse ourselves at all. Praise God. And just like I was telling you Friday night here, the little revelation that God gave me when I was in my prayer closet this week, how that Jesus was born in the stable the first time, and how he was born in the stable the second time, my stable, your stable. Amen. We was a stable when Jesus Christ come to us. Amen. There was nothing clean, nothing that smelled good in us. But he come to clean up the stable. Hallelujah. I'm the Mahaya. Oh, praise his holy, wonderful name. It's wonderful going on for Jesus. Now then, it's our Father. And so that puts us all down in the family of God then, doesn't it, huh? It's our Father which art in heaven. It's humility. Approaching God with humility. Recognizing that we're just a part of God's family. We're not the whole thing. We're just a part of it. Praise God. Our Father. And what does he say to recognize that he's in heaven? Praise God. Because, beloved, I don't know if you know it or not, there's a lot of people now. I realize that God's Spirit is in me. I realize that God has put his spiritual temple in me. And I realize that he wants to bring that temple up into full stature. And I realize that many of our experiences go on inside. But there's some even Pentecostal groups that have taught you to pray to God inside of you. Now, do you know what that leads to? Huh? That leads to self-deification after a while. You get to be your own God after a while. If I had time to go into that, which I'm not going to do it. But God said, you recognize he's up in heaven. Yes, his spirit is in me today, but his person is up yonder in heaven. Right, huh? Now, and so if he's up in heaven and I'm down in earth, then what does the Bible say about the earth? That the earth is his footstool. Hallelujah to God. So when I say, our Father, which art in heaven, I see him up yonder in the spirit, high and lifted up in his temple upon the throne. And I see myself down in earth at his footstool, kneeling at his footstool and looking up in his face by faith. Hallelujah. And so I'm on my higher. There's a reason why he told us to do this. Our Father, which art in heaven. And so, beloved, the earth is his footstool. We're here in the earth, and the earth is his footstool, and he's up yonder on his throne. So if we're at the footstool, then that makes us in the low place, right? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I know that we can claim our position and all this as a child of God and so on. But, beloved, sometimes people get spiritual pride, and they get so big as the sons of God that they forget to pray like this. I don't care how big in stature you get. He said, you pray after this manner. Amen. You recognize your Father is in heaven, and you're in earth at his footstool. Amen. Now, let's hurry on. Oh, hallelujah. This is one of the best portions in the Word of God going. That's right. Now then, so let's see. Let's recognize God's honor. Praise his wonderful name. Now he said, hallowed be thy name. Let's consider it. Beloved, this is just precious. Hallowed is thy name, or holy is thy name. Now let's consider that word hallowed. Holy is the name. What does the name mean? The nature and the character. Always in the Word of God, a name signifies the character and the nature of a thing. When God brought all the animals to Adam to name, when he first created the earth, listen to me, Adam named them according to their nature. Have you ever noticed how the name elephant applies to the nature of an elephant? Or the name lion, it applies to the nature of a lion. Who named all those? Adam named them because God gave him the wisdom to know about their nature and give them a name fitting to their nature. That's why God sent the name down. Hallelujah. By the angel Gabriel. Hallelujah. Unto the Virgin Mary said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, hallelujah. God gave him a name that would be in keeping with his nature. Now listen, hallowed is his name. Beloved, this is one of, if you ever get this morning, I guarantee you, you'll use it the rest of the days of your life. When you come before God, listen to me, hallowed, or holy, or righteous, or just, is his nature. You can't come to your prayer closet and cry. Let me tell you, self-pity and tears when you understand he's got a holy, righteous, just nature. Hallowed be thy name. How many times have you come to the prayer closet? God, why did you let this happen to me? Lord, why do I have to go through this? Lord, why did they do this to me? Lord! Oh, we just bellow like an old bull. That's the truth. You know why? Because you don't know that his name is holy. Hallowed is his name. We cry as though God had taken a vacation. We cry as though God had made a mistake. We cry and we moan and we complain even in our prayer life because you haven't said the Lord's Prayer and you haven't understood it and you didn't yield up. You can't say, oh, God don't want you to say this prayer. He didn't say this prayer. Brother, he said pray this prayer. Amen. And there's a difference in saying prayers and praying prayers. Saying prayers is what you say with your mouth. Praying is what you say down in your heart. I'm a Messiah. Oh, hallelujah to God. And you can't say, hallowed be thy name, when you're murmuring and complaining and rebelling and having a fit about anything. As the Word said, great peace are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm a Messiah. Coming and saying, hallowed be thy name. Lord, you're too righteous and you're too holy and too just to let one thing happen that's not needful in my life as a Christian. Just like sister was saying a while ago that they've been praying for her brother. Her brother has the call of God on his life there and has had for many years, and he's been bypassed, and God's laid his hand now on one of their children, which happens to be her nephew there. I'm a Messiah. And they fasted and prayed for God to do something to call him in. There's no use for you to pray for God to do something. Then when God starts doing it, amen, then you start a complaining and a murmuring and a drawing back. You don't know anything about hallowed be thy name. Brother, when we come to this prayer, listen, it's a pattern for you to face up with. We waste a lot of time. We and we do a lot of vain repetition in our prayer life, beloved, because we don't know God's pattern and God's manner and God's order. Hallelujah to God. You won't be in there crying and wasting time bellowing about this thing and that thing that's happened if you know that His name is holy and it doesn't make any mistakes and it's righteous and it's pure and it's merciful and it's too kind to make a mistake. And if God puts something across your pathway, bless God, that's because you need it. Instead of getting in there hollering and trying to get out from under the yoke, let's get out and find out what lesson God wants to teach us. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Say amen if you do. Glory to God. Hallowed be thy name. How many times have I quoted the Lord's Prayer? And you have too, since you was knee-high to that, and you just rolled it over as a form to go through with. I did way back in the Methodist church, praise God, because everybody else said it. But brother, this is not a form, this is a pattern. You know the difference between a form and a pattern? Huh? Glory to God. A form is something that's done dead. Amen. Hasn't got any life in it. Praise God. But a pattern, is a procedure to follow to get to the place to where God wants to take you. Praise God. Hallelujah to God. There's a difference between a form and a pattern. You can make a form out of it if you want to, but God means it to be a pattern. If you get in God's pattern, and the only way you can get in the pattern is to get into the revelation of it. Now let's hurry on here. Praise God. And so let's look at it. The next thing. Now he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He said, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Look at the surrender. Thy kingdom come. Where do you reckon that we ought to pray for the kingdom to come first, huh? Inside of us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in your midst. Amen. The kingdom of God comes inside of you. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't be wanting the kingdom of God to come in visibility if you're not willing for it to come in invisibility. Thy kingdom come. I'm a Messiah. Now when you pray for a kingdom, what do you pray for? What are you praying for? What's the kingdom consist of? A king. Amen. And a throne. And ruling and reigning. Who ever heard of a kingdom without a king? Praise God. When we talk about Hitler's kingdom, who was the very chef in Hitler's kingdom? That's the only question. Hitler was, amen. When Hitler was gone, there wasn't no Hitler kingdom, was there, huh? When Mussolini was gone, there wasn't no Mussolini kingdom. Praise God. Thy kingdom come. What are you praying for? Besides humbling myself and recognizing, beloved, before God, His nature. Now then, I must recognize the King of His kingdom and surrender to His kingdom. And when we pray, thy kingdom come. Oh, hallelujah, saints. When you begin to come into your prayer closet like this, understanding what this prayer is about and praying it, not saying it, but praying it from the bottom of your heart. By the time you get through praying it, brother, the Holy Ghost will be all over you. And you'll be in a fit of intercession and prevail in the Spirit of God. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Amen. Well, what are you really saying when you say that? Lord, I want you to take the throne in my heart. I've been on it long enough, Lord. Amen. I want you to get on it. Praise God. I've been at the driver's seat long enough. Like I was demonstrating before you a Friday night. We had a good time. Those of you that weren't here Friday night, you really missed it. I'll guarantee you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I was demonstrating how we take the driver's seat and we put God down a little seat beside us. And we say, now, God, come on, I want you to be with me here. But let me drive. Let me get through here. Praise God. But that's not what we're saying when we pray like this. It means let me get over here beside God and let Him have the driver's seat. Let Him have the throne. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Praise God. And He said, thy will be done. Beloved, His will can't be done until His kingdom comes. Amen. You can't do the will of God until you let Jesus take the throne of your heart. You can't do the will of God until you let Jesus take the throne of your heart. Are you following me now? Praise God. Thy will be done. That's the next thing. Recognizing God's honor, His position, amen, and His nature, and His kingdom, and His will. Thy will be done. Now, beloved, you can't pray that from your heart unless you're willing to get off of the throne and unless you're willing to let God's will be done. And you know where all the trouble comes in the churches many times? Huh? Praise God. Because everybody else is on the throne except Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And I'm a Mahana. And if one gets to do something and the other don't get to do it, well, then one's in a huff and another's in a jealous pout. And my, you just have all kinds of troubles. That's what Brother Dom meant a while ago when he said, if you want to help here and if you have any desire for Jesus, appreciation for Him, you ought to want to do something. Amen. And if you don't know what you ought to do, well, then turn your name in and we'll take you before the Holy Ghost. But what He means, we'll go before the Holy Ghost witness and let the Spirit of God speak and bear witness. Amen. Of where He wants each one and what He wants us to do. Then His kingdom can come. That means the King can come in our midst and rule and reign in our church. But we don't have any fights here because we got just one boss. We just got one boss. Hallelujah. We got one kingdom and we got one will, and that's Him. Isn't that wonderful? Now, so we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, how to pray, and then recognizing God's honor. Our Father, which art in heaven, His position, He's in heaven. You're down here in earth, which is His footstool, and you're just coming kneeling there. Amen. And then, hallowed be thy name, recognizing His nature, that He's too kind and too holy and too just and too pure to give you anything but what's not good for you. Praise God. And then recognizing His kingdom, thy kingdom come, and recognizing His will, thy will be done. Recognizing God's honor. Oh, hallelujah to God. And beloved, you can't pray like that unless you're willing for this to be worked in you. And every time, I don't know about you all, but every time I pray this and I understand that, I just feel a greater surrender for His kingdom and for His will, and just feel like I'm getting lower at His feet every day that I come before Him and pray the Lord's Prayer. Not saying it, but pray it. Bless, above and behind that. Bless God, I prayed it for many years. I mean, said it for many years. But beloved, now I pray it. Praise God. Now let's hurry on. So we've learned how to pray, and we've learned to recognize God's honor. Let's look at something else. Let's hurry on here real quick now to our next big point. Praise God. We learned how to pray, enter into our closet, shut the door, pray to our Father in secret, and then pray after this manner. And then we learned how to recognize God's honor. And beloved, you can take any prayer in the Bible and you'll find it built along this line. And like I said a while ago when we're studying the book of Nehemiah, why did God bless Nehemiah so? The prayer that he made for Jerusalem, he recognized God's honor. And I could go down the line with the prayers of the Bible and they always recognize God's honor. And I'll tell you, you'll never get favor with anybody unless you recognize their honor. Praise God. I'll tell you, when the nations of the world want to get favor with one another, what do? They recognize the honor of that kingdom. All right, let's go on and study some more. Let's take the next point now about our stature. Our need. Look, before we come to our need, I want you to notice this. Beloved, we're so rude to God sometimes. We rush in and we put our need first, huh? And we don't even bother to find out how to pray, to get into the closet, and so on. Now, I don't mean, and don't get confused and get this thing distorted. I don't mean that there's no, that we can't pray unless we're in our closet. We can pray all the time. The Bible tells us to pray always. But this is a special kind of praying you do when you enter into your closet. This is the kind of praying to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you're going about your duties, you can be praying in your heart, but you can't put your mind 100% on this when you're washing dishes or sweeping the floor or doing this thing or that thing. You can be praising God in your heart, you can be talking to Him in your heart, and you can be in an attitude of prayer continually, but you can't do closet praying when you're outside the closet because things interfere and hinder you. Praise the name of the Lord. Now then, let's look at our need. But many times, like I said, we come and we haven't prepared to pray. We haven't recognized God's honor. We haven't treated Him like a king. We think that we know Him much and so on. But if you had to sit down without your Bible or anything else and just take a notebook this morning and write down all that you know about God, all that you really know about God, how big do you think your notebook would be? I'm not talking about what you heard about God or what you read about God. I mean what you know by experience. How big would your notebook be? I'm afraid that you find out you don't know as much about God or you don't know Him as well as you think you do. And yet we rush around as like we've been old buddies ever since God's been around there somewhere. Amen. You know what I'm saying to you, Saints? I'm hitting a point here. We rush in with our need, a push-button style. Hello, God, I'm here this morning. I've got this need, I've got that need, and there we get with it. I'll see you later, Lord. Got to go now. All right, so I'm a fool, so you're getting what I'm talking about. Amen. Now, which one are you saying amen to? Praise God. I am a fool for Christ's sake. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But what I'm getting to you, beloved, you're not following God's pattern. You rush in with your need. And then we wonder why we don't get our needs met, huh? And we wonder why we don't get our answers to prayer. And then we'll go and complain. Why, Lord, I've been in here for a month knocking on your door. Tell me about this need. What's that? You haven't answered yet. Well, you start going according to God's pattern, and He'll answer you like that. Amen. Now let's look at our need. What do we have need of? Let's look at it. Praise God. Oh, there's so much here. I tell you, I'm just a busting. I've been busting all week because God gave me not a week of rest, but just a few days. Amen. Let's consider our need now. Let's read on. After that we've come the right way, and as we've recognized God's honor, then let's look at our need. There's a stature about your need. What's the first thing you have need of, huh? Let's look at this. Daily bread. Now, what do you think he's talking about here? You think he's talking about natural bread or spiritual bread? Well, he may be talking about both. It's all right if you don't have bread. You sure better be praying for some while you still got strength. Amen. Before you run out of strength. But listen, what did he say? He said, seek the kingdom of God first, and all these other things will be added to you. So you're to pray for a daily bread. Amen. And how many of you that you make that first when you go into your prayer closet, that is after you've come in the right way, after you've given God the recognition, this is the King we're coming before. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, even Esther, even though she was married to the King, listen to me. Even a queen in the natural, she didn't come just busting into the King's presence because she was married to him. She had to wait till he held out the golden scepter. And brother, she had to prepare herself and wash herself and anoint herself and get good and then sweet smells upon her. Amen. And get her royal robes on her and then walk in with all the humility and then wait for the King to stretch out the scepter. Then she drew near to him. Well, brother, we don't know who God is, not really. I'm the Messiah. We treat him like he was an old shoe, and we treat him push-button style. You're not going to push God around and get what you want from him. I'm a Messiah. And the first need you're to consider when you come to yourself is not the need to in my position, not the need to the church, not the need to the work, not the need to the missionaries, not this person or that, or my family, or this thing or that thing, beloved. It's my own need when I come to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, the more you go on with God, you'll be conscious of your spiritual need and your spiritual hunger, first of all. You'll be so overwhelmed with it when you come into the closet. And sometimes even after I leave my closet, I'm crying to the Lord for bread. Why does He open the Word to us, beloved? Because we cry for it, because we thirst for it, because we hunger, and because we ask for daily bread. And oh, a lot of times we want things way up yonder because our curiosity wants to know. A lot of times we want things way up here because our spiritual pride wants to know. And this thing and that thing. But let me tell you something. I'm on my Sunday. When I come before my Father, I say, Father, feed me with bread that's convenient for me today. You know what I have need of in my spiritual tabernacle. You know what I have need of in my spiritual soul. I don't know. But I know, God, by experience, that all you have to do is pass me out the crumbs. I'm on my Sunday, and they satisfy. Whatever my Father passes to me, if I've come this way and made these surrenders, let me tell you something, saints. You're not ready for daily bread until you've recognized His honor and until you've humbled yourself. You're not ready for daily bread, Father. No wonder God can't get bread to us. But when we humble ourselves and surrender and pray for His kingdom and His will, now you're ready to appreciate the bread that He gives you. If He gave you the bread beforehand, you wouldn't appreciate it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Say amen if you do. All right. Our need. We have need of daily bread. And I'll tell you, beloved, it's a lot easier to get your natural bread. You may not think so, than it is your spiritual bread. Listen to me. Praise God. It's a lot easier to get natural bread than it is spiritual bread. Amen. If you need daily bread, we should pray for bread in the natural if we need it. Amen. And if He's already given it to us, we're thanking for it. Amen. Now let's see the rest of our need here. He said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Praise the name of the Lord. Forgive us our debts. Now, I want you to notice this, and I want to stop and talk about this right quick. He said, forgive us our debts. How? Why did Jesus put it on that basis? Sometimes people will argue this and say, oh, well, now we're under grace. Sure, we're under grace, but don't you make it so graceful that it'd be greasy grace by the time you get through with it. Hallelujah. I'll borrow somebody's little accordion here. Amen. I'm a good... That's the wrong word, but anyway, I do a little demonstration around here. Now, how many of you appreciate the demonstration? It gets over to you anyway. I might be a fool while I'm doing them, but I don't care what. I'll stand on my head if that'll cause you to understand the Word of God better and to go on for God. Now, I'm only going to start. Some people say, oh, this belongs back to the law of dispensation, and we're under grace now. Well, you don't have to forgive to get forgiven. Jesus said you did. Now, let's look at it. He said, forgive our debt as we forgive our debtors. Oh, Lord, help me now. I'm not even near through. But why can't God forgive you if you haven't forgiven somebody else? Why is it impossible? It's impossible. Now, I want to know. Now, just get the picture in your mind. Why can't God forgive you if you haven't forgiven somebody else? Carol? But why? Why? Why can't God forgive me? In other words, let's say I've got something against Mel here, and ooh, I could just bite her ears off. And as long as I got that spirit, I can holler till I'm blue in the face and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Now, Lord, I really want to go on with you, but when I think of Mel, Now, why can't God forgive me, huh? Maybe I've done something here. See, I want God to forgive me, but I'm holding this against her, and I won't forgive her. Now, why can't God forgive me until I forgive her? Bertha's next. All right, elaborate on that, Bertha. Amen. Let me ask you something. Now, what is unforgiveness? Sin. Look, I've got a spirit on me here against Mel. I'm carrying my sin. You see what I mean? And I'm asking God to forgive me something over there, but I want to hold on to this sin. Now, can God forgive me of my sin? Can God forgive you of sin unless you want to turn loose the sin? No, of course He can't. I can say, Lord, forgive me till I'm blue in the face, but until I'm willing to take this burden off my back, this spirit I got against my sister, and lay it down. Amen. At the feet of Jesus here, you see? Well, then He can forgive me. How can He forgive? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Now, somebody that has done something to you, owes you something. And how many times, let me tell you something, saints. I'm on a Honda. One reason why that people don't go on for God, they won't forgive. Did you know the hardest thing in the world is to forgive? You know why? Because you've had your hand out and your pride of revelation said, somebody owes me this and I want them to put it in my hand. And if they don't pay you and they don't put it in your hand, let me tell you something. Then you're going to get a spirit against them, huh? You're going to get a spirit against them. I'm on my Sunday. And then when you come before the Lord, listen. Now put your minds on God here. I'm here for your benefit, not for mine. I already know what I know. Praise God. Not that I know it all, but what I'm telling you this morning, I already know. But this message has to do with the head realm and going on for God. Now listen, when I get to teaching on the seal of the bride up there at the Ark of the Covenant, this past convention, we showed you how the seal was built along in the statue there. Amen. It was beautiful. How many of you understood something and appreciated the seal of the bride? Say amen. Amen. Well, you haven't seen the seal taught together. Now, there were six things up in the head realm that gives us the revelation about the seal of the bride. And listen, this business of forgiveness has to do with the mystery of it. I'm a mama Shandai. Just like we taught you some, and we haven't taught you near enough yet, but I gave you just a picture of it in the ministerial convention about the rod of Aaron and Moses, and then the two of them together. Remember that? And we had a time. I never saw such public outpouring of the Spirit of God and the Word of God as we had here in the ministerial conference just about a week or so ago. Isn't that right, saints? Amen. Everyone bore witness to it. Well, that was only the type, the shadow. What are you going to do when you get the real thing, huh, of the rod? Praise God. But this business of forgiveness, I'm a Messiah. How can you tell when you've forgiven anybody, huh? A lot of times we say, oh, well, I forgive her, but I won't forget it. Amen. How can you tell when you have forgiven? How can you tell when you've taken this load off your back? A lot of times we say, well, we've taken it off. And we really haven't taken it off. We're carrying it around. Amen. And when you're carrying a load around, or you're conscious, the next time that person does the least little thing, or this thing that's on your back will rise up like an old snake, like an old roaring lion, and come over after them. Praise God. Hallelujah. How can you tell when you're forgiven? When you have peace in your heart. When you have love in your heart. When you can feel inside of your heart. And it's just as though they never had done the thing. When God forgives you, what does He do? He justifies you. Now you can tell when you're forgiven, you'll start justifying the person of what they've done to you instead of accusing them. Now listen to me, saints. Let's get that all straight, because we're here trying to learn something to go on for God. We're just not playing tiddlywinks. It's just like I told a sister yesterday. We was talking. I said, let me tell you something. If I wasn't in this business for real, you couldn't pay me if you gave me all the money in the world to hold the responsibility and have the job that I'm doing these days with the hearts of human beings. You couldn't pay me. I wouldn't have it. I just wouldn't have it if it wasn't for God. You know why? It's too big and it's too burdensome to lead people on. We're not playing here. We're playing, but we're meaning business for God. Listen to me. How can you tell now when you've forgiven somebody, when you'll start making justification for them instead of accusation? When you haven't forgiven somebody, well, then you'll accuse them and you'll find fault with them, and there was no reason why they did what they did to you, and blah, blah, there you go. But when you forgive, then you start justifying. What do I mean by justifying? Huh? Excusing them. Amen. And begin to understand why they've done what they've done to you. All right, let's hurry on. I'll finish maybe a couple of points here on our need, and I'll finish that other one some other time. Praise God. We got lots of irons in the fire around here. I get more all the time. So we get them out little for little. All right. Now then, let's notice our need. What's the next thing in our need? Forgive us our debt. God can't forgive you, beloved, until you forgive. As long as you're carrying sin on your back and you're wanting it and you're holding on to it, even God can't take it off of your back. Now then, He said, and lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? Now let's look at this. Commentaries and the authorities, and they've all tried to breathe around on it and do something with it because they really don't know what to do with it. But let's examine. Lead us not into temptation. Now, what kind of a temptation is He talking about, huh? Now, you have to know some of God's laws. And like we study here all the time, God works by laws and principles. And that's why you can, after you go on for God and you get acquainted with His laws and principles, you begin to discern between right and wrong a lot better. Now let's examine it. Lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? You think that we'd have to pray to ask the Lord to not lead us into the lusting of sin? Do we have to pray like that, huh? No, of course not. Then what kind of temptation? Sometimes the word temptation is used for testings and trials. Well, you say, Sister, is it right to pray to not be led into testings and trials? Sure it is. Let's go back to our principle. Now, let me raise this off so I have a little bit more room over here. Praise God. Now, we have a very important principle we've studied in Romans, the second chapter. Now, what's God's law of working with us? Let's look at it. We have two little half circles here. Huh? What's the first way that God wants to work with us? Blessing. Amen. He said, don't you know that the goodness or the blessing of God leads to repentance? And this will answer some of your questions, beloved, because you haven't understood, if you haven't known this. How many times have you wondered why God blessed so-and-so when they such a scallyway? Huh? Or you thought they were. Huh? Well, Lord, just how can you bless a person like that? You know what you're doing? You're not looking to God's principle of operation. You're looking to the person, and according to your eyesight, brother, they don't deserve blessing. They deserve the rock. But God, that's His first principle of working with us. That's His directive will. Let me tell you something. Let's learn about God here. A blessing is God's directive will. Oh, yes, I know. Because of our ignorance and our rebellion, brother, we get on the permissive side lots of times. Hallelujah. But that's God's directive will. And we have a right to pray, amen. And now, if you don't hear this, then God said in Romans, the second chapter, listen to me, that then you'd be visited with what? Judgment. Exactly. Now, that's God's permissive will. It's not God's will, beloved, to beat His children and put the rod on our back. Amen. And so,
A lot of times when we're looking at people and we don't understand, they may be way down here on the end of the circle of blessing. They got just a little bit of blessing left before God starts putting a rod on them. And sometimes I warn you people here, and sometimes you sit when you don't hear by the hearing of the ear and by the seeing of the eye and the Word of God, then you'll find that you experience it in reality. But God lets me know where my people are, so I can see what circle they're on. And when I see them coming down to the end of that blessing, then I begin to warn them, look, you've got this in your life, and I'm a Mashanda. And if you don't get busy and start facing up with God and let God crucify that thing and get that thing out of your life, then God's going to start putting the rod of judgment on you. And what does God do when He puts the rod of judgment on? Brother, He puts the temptations, the testings, the trials, the fire upon us. Hallelujah. How many of you understand that, huh? Lead us not into a temptation. Oh, Lord, let me have sense enough to get the blessing. What's God's directed way in your going on? Just like we're saying here. Now, listen to me, saints. It's to go to your prayer closet and pray and seek God's will and seek God's kingdom. Listen to me. And pray for the daily bread and to pray to grow. That's God's way for you to grow. God meant for you to do spiritual business in your prayer closet. Then God can make your circumstances a blessing to you. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Say amen if you do. Now, if you don't learn that, praise God, then God's going to put you down the judgment side with temptations and testings and trials and all hell breaking loose against you. How many of you know about that? Oh, now come on. Y'all know more about that than that. I said, how many of you know about that, huh? Sure, we all know about that. There's times when we haven't learned our lesson in the prayer closet. And if you don't learn your lesson in the prayer closet in the Word of God, then God, has got all kinds of testings and trials to turn loose against you. And He'll let the devil creep in the middle of the whole thing, too, sometimes, to add to the pressure. But this is God's way of going on. Now, He said, deliver us from evil. Now, what does evil speak of? Some people don't know God created evil. Did you know that? What's evil? Some people don't know the difference between sin and evil. All right, let's go back to Isaiah for just a moment, 45th chapter here, and we'll be through as soon as I finish this little point here. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, it takes time to worship God in spirit and in truth. Did you know that? If you haven't made up your mind to take time for both of them, then you're going to have to sacrifice one or the other, and finally, maybe both of them all together. Let's go to the 45th chapter of Isaiah, and I want to show you something here. God said He created evil. Now, God never did create sin, but God created evil. Some people nearly lose their teeth when I tell them this, but I never wrote the Bible. It's in the Word of God. And verse 7, and Isaiah 45 and verse 7. Isaiah 45 and 7. And this proof here proves of the truth I've just told you. Now, listen to me. In Isaiah 45 and 7, He said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, what is evil? I told you what that word is in the Hebrew. It means sorrow and wretchedness and adversity and affliction and misery and woe. Now, listen. God's first directed will is that we come into the prayer closet and that we get surrendered and humble ourselves before Him and recognize His honor and get the spiritual bread and begin to grow that way and get rid of things in our lives that are displeasing to Him in the prayer closet. Now, if you stub up on God and you harden your heart and you let your self-will come up and you won't allow His kingdom to keep on coming bigger and bigger in your heart, then you know what God's going to do? He's going to put you on the judgment side. And when the judgment side comes, you know what comes with it? Evil, affliction, misery, and woe, and heartache. He makes that as a rod, a judgment, a lash upon your back when you won't go on for God. Praise the name of the Lord. So He said, deliver me from that. In other words, that's my need. Amen. To surrender my will so that I can be led in the directed will of God, that God can bless me in the prayer closet and in the Word to go on for God, and He won't have to put the rod upon my back. And I can be delivered from evil, that rod of misery and affliction and wretchedness and woe. It does not mean sin. It means the result of sin. Amen. That I'll not have the rod are the results of taking my own will and my own way and my own stubbornness. Praise the name of the Lord. How to pray. God's honor and our need. Brother, we have a need for daily bread and to forgive our debt. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't forgive your debt, then what's God going to do, huh? He's going to lead you to temptation. He's going to lead you to testings and trials. Then He's going to lead you to the evil. There'll be an evil rock upon your back whipping you. Amen. Until you're willing to throw up both hands and say, Lord, I will forgive. Amen. Or whatever the thing is that God's asked us. How many of you have understood something, huh? Now, let's take God's possessions. Let's look at God's possessions. What are the Lord's possessions? Now then, He said, for thine is the kingdom. The kingdom is the Lord's. Even after His kingdom comes into our heart, who's going to get the praise and the honor for that kingdom? It's His kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. It's His possession. It's not we ourselves. And like we said a moment ago, whatever He's put within us, we're not to be the boss of it. He's to be the head of it. It's His kingdom. Whatever He's put in my kingdom. And that's why sometimes even in my natural possession, it's still His kingdom. That's why I have to go down into death and His death and come up in a new way. But I learned that He's the boss in this kingdom. And so it's His kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. For thine is the kingdom. And the power. Thine is the power. The power belongs to Him. Sometimes when God puts power within us and so on, well, we get the idea like it's our power and like that we can boss it and so on. But, beloved, whatever we've got today, it's from God. It belongs to Him. We don't belong to ourselves. We can't boss this thing. We don't own it. It's not ours. It's His. For thine is the kingdom, it's His possession. For thine is the power, it's His possession. And the glory, thine is the glory. Amen. And so it's His glory. He gets the glory. He said He's not going to have any flesh, the glory in His sight. And whatever we can do apart from God on our own independence, well, then we can take the glory for it. That's why we've got to be planted in His death and come up in resurrection power. Because then when we do, we're separated from that pride that reaches out to try to possess the kingdom and to possess the power and to possess the glory. And then we know that it's not ours, but it's His. Praise the name of the Lord. And God has to crucify that old sponge inside of us. It's in all of us that we like to soak in God's glory. When God puts His kingdom within us, and He puts His power through us, and then the glory comes along with it. But old self is just like a sponge to try to just soak up God's glory.
This is the end of this message and the end of side two of the first cassette of tape number JE-22.